It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always during the BBOTT season, I'm here with you live on a Sunday night to talk about the latest happenings in the Big Brother Over the Top House, even though there's not really anything happening at the current moment, with some good pals of mine. First is a man who has recently been compared to Squirtle. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jordan. I'm not a Pokemon, nor do I have a shell, but I am the leader of a gang.
I was going to say during that podcast that Mike Bloom did with Melissa and Adam, which I definitely recommend you check out, robinswebsite.com/rehabs for that. In that podcast, when Adam said you were like Squirtle, I immediately went to, well, yeah, obviously Alex is like the captain of the Squirtle squad. But then nobody mentioned that. I was like, when's the Squirtle squad coming up?
Yeah, but only I don't ditch my posse for some tool named Ash. I stick with my peoples. I don't leave them on a whim because some kid tells me to.
Just leave to go on love tours.
Yes, just love tours. Yeah, isn't that what you did? You abandoned us to go on a love tour with Ash. That's in New York when you left us, Alex.
I don't think that's what happened.
Okay, well, that's I don't know.
I have to say, when that question was asked, my mind immediately went to, like, I've always loved Charmander, and then I immediately thought Alex is Squirtle, because I think I knew that you liked Squirtle the best. And then Brent clearly Bulbasaur. So, like, I think they nailed it.
Yeah, well done by then. And yes, the second man on the panel tonight, you've heard his voice, is a man who recently bought a new thing where he can just change all of the colors in his house in a flash with some light doohickey. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
I'm good. I got myself some toys.
Can you show it on the video? Can you do the light thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, you've caught me unprepared, but
okay, hold on. I'll kill some time. You start. You get it set up, and then people.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, there it is.
Wow. It is. So now Taryn's room is like, it's red. Can you do blue too?
There it is.
So what is the purpose of this thing that you got, Taryn?
Awesomeness.
Awesomeness. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alex, you can take it up to like movies and stuff. It's cool.
Alex, what's your review of Taryn's lights?
Ambiance.
It really
brings the room together.
Okay. Rob Cesternino in the chat is saying sepia robot Taryn.
Believe me, I will need that red lighting for Big Brother podcasts. It'll be my veil, essentially. I'll just do the entire podcast in total red light.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be like when Hayden Christensen is on the lava planet.
Yes.
You are the chosen one, Taryn.
From my perspective, it is the house guests that are evil, Alex.
Yeah, well, you were supposed to bring down to Big Brother, not leave it in the darkness.
and just a heads up for you guys, setting things up for you guys first, we are live on robinswebsite.com. We've got the chat room going on the show page, chatwing.com/rehappyhour, if you want to check that out and chat with some people. Rob Cesternino was in the chat. I don't know if he's still there. And another thing to let you guys know about, Alex Kidwell, we've joked about his internet being or his computer being messed up all season. In the pre-show, it was messed up pretty badly. So he was sounding a lot like Taryn and making beeps and boop sounds. So we might lose Alex at some point. So enjoy AK while you have him.
Yeah, he's slowly being converted into a robot. I'm trying to do it secretly, but his voice keeps messing up. It's like he's half Cyberman right now, and I need to get him fully there so that he can get the proper voice box going.
I'm so frustrated with this new computer. It was entirely too expensive, and it's not been worth it at all.
Why did you get a new computer, Alex? You should have just kept your old one.
I know. Hey, everyone out there, let that be a lesson to you. Newer, more expensive, not necessarily better.
Yeah. Unless I know
they
like...
try to upsell you and tell you otherwise.
But... Yeah, you should have stuck with old reliable, Alex. You really should have.
He rejected the title.
Yeah, he did. I'm sorry. Maybe that's my fault. Maybe I made you not love that anymore. But anyway, we're going to be talking about Big Brother Over the Top. Not a lot has really happened since we last did a podcast, but it's Sunday. We usually do the podcast on Sunday. So we're here. We want to give you guys something to listen to on your commute or to help pass the time on your Sunday afternoon if you're watching us live. So we're going to be taking your questions throughout the show, and we're going to need a lot of those questions because we don't have a ton of stuff to talk about. So if you want to get those in to us, you can tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar on Twitter. Use hashtag Rahappy Hour, and we will get into those questions throughout the show. Let's start off, guys, just briefly. Let's talk about what's happened since we last did a podcast. So the last BBOTT podcast, I guess, that was done, there wasn't one Friday because of Thanksgiving, correct? Unless I missed that. Did I miss that, Taryn?
No, you did not.
Okay. So I've just been so busy.
They talked about it on the interview, the So You Think You Can podcast interview. They talked about Big Brother a little bit, but
that's about
it. Apart from that, yeah.
So since the Wednesday era happy hour that we did, talking about the eviction, Alex Kidwell, nothing has really happened outside of the whole Thanksgiving fiasco. So can you talk about that a little bit?
I don't know. Stupid stuff. people been in the house with each other too long, and now they got nothing to do but cook together in close confined spaces all day, and they don't get along so good in there. I think we've established this, and there's no game left to be played, so what else are they gonna do but just like sound off on one another?
Taryn, what exactly happened? So they wanted Thanksgiving dinner and Justin wouldn't make it for them.
Well, Justin was having a hard time. I think he's realized that he's basically lost the game at this point because Jason is guaranteed to be in the finals and he doesn't win against Jason. And the fact that Jason is taking Chrissy over him, that sort of like it all combined into this sort of thing where he's like, he's missing home. It's Thanksgiving. He's realized that he's come this far. He's probably going to lose. He's kind of upset about this. So he wasn't really participating in the way that everyone wanted him to. He kind of spent some time alone. He was crying a little bit. And Chrissy and Jason took offense to this. They thought he was being a poor sport. And this has led to plenty of tension throughout the last few days where it's just like Jason and Chrissy trash talking Justin and Justin being sulky. And this is what this season has come to. this is really all there is.
I saw a photo of Chrissy just like lying in bed, like looking up at the ceiling, like so devastated. And she was just like over just the stupidest stuff. It's like, why? Like, who cares? You just won 10 grand. You should be happy, Chrissy.
Justin seems to be the only one surprised at this point that he can't win. He's not going to win. And Chrissy seems to be the only one who cares that it bothers him.
Does Chrissy think she can still win, Alex?
No, I don't think so. But I think that's the problem with Chrissy all along. And, has she ever really thought she could win, or has she always been playing for Jason's, second place to Jason? I don't know. I have no idea what goes through her head anymore. I really don't even want to try to guess as to like where she thinks she stands, because just when I think that she's accepted second place, she goes into the diary room and starts talking about how she's done subtly brilliant manipulative things, which she can't list, but she can certainly, speculate at. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Well, Taryn, what was Morgan's reaction to this whole Thanksgiving fiasco?
Well, I mean, she took Jason and Chrissy's side. Like, she was upset at Justin as well. But they have like the main arguments have been between Chrissy and Justin, where. Like, I don't know. Like Chrissy is like, we dragged you this whole game. We dragged you along. And Justin takes offense to that. And it's just like, it's a lot of arguing and a lot of bickering. And tensions are just like really high. But there's like no point in them because the game's already over. Like, there's no choices that the house guests make at all on their own at this point. They either win a competition or they don't. So it's really just like a bunch of people in a really tension-filled house just being annoying. basically.
So the ceremony happened yesterday, and Chrissy was taken to the was given the pass to the finals. Was it any different than a safety ceremony, or was it just like a did Jason push a button and her thing lit up? Like, what exactly happened?
It was a game changer.
A game changer. Okay, so what happened then?
I mean, he just made Chrissy safe.
So did she still have the necklace, and he just like pushed the button, and that was it?
I think so. I mean, I didn't watch it, but yeah.
Oh, man.
Who needs to watch it?
That's true. I mean, who needs to watch at this point, right? Okay. So so this happens. I guess nothing else really has happened, Taryn Armstrong, right? I mean, it's just been they're just chilling, and that's it. Well, Jason in the lab.
Chrissy, in all brilliance and, quick thinking, she has come to Morgan today and said, you know, I realized you were telling the truth when you said you had a sister in the house. So, 2.5 weeks later, here we go. And Morgan's like, oh, I guess that explains why I didn't react at all. And she's like, yeah.
And I'm being told in the chat, he didn't even press a button. He just read a card. So
that's right.
I feel even more justified for not bothering.
Yeah.
I mean, right. It played like the way a final ceremony play, you know, like when you're at final three, I'm sorry, I only can pick one of you. I pick you. Goodbye. Like, that's pretty much what it was. That's all. What else is left to say? And, you know, as we all pretty much know, no matter who had ended up winning, they were going to save Chrissy. So this ceremony couldn't have been less of a game changer. Like, literally anything else is going to be a game changer but this ceremony. I talked on Twitter about how it's like a Bronte secret nerd level of game change.
Yeah, like there were multiple times throughout the week where I thought it had already happened. And then I realized that they were still talking about it in the future tense. And I was like, oh, it hasn't happened yet. Like, it was that much of a given. Like, there was absolutely nothing that changed.
Oh, man. Wow. It's frustrating that they didn't just, like, have the finale on Thursday or something I guess because of Thanksgiving they couldn't. But it just seems like such a waste of time to just keep them in there at this point, just to sit around to wait till Tuesday to have that comp. I just think that's, I don't know. It's kind of stupid, but anyway. Okay, so then live DRs, Taryn. Any takeaways from that? Nothing really, right? I can't imagine.
Just that Chrissy legitimately thinks that she has run this game. That she thinks that she has like puppeteered people. She thinks that she was the one controlling the alliance behind the scenes. Everybody trusted her the most, and that makes her this like amazing player. And like she really believes this. Like, she's telling us this in the diary room, and it's I haven't seen this kind of delusion before. Like, ever. Like, I don't know what to say.
You didn't finish Survivor Australia, Theron. I had this time.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, no, I mean, it reminds me of that, where it's, a lot of, retroactive talk that we didn't see. And I think it's way worse in this case, because in Survivor Australia, you can make the argument where it's like, oh, well, things get left on the cutting room floor that we don't see. The show's edited and stuff. But this isn't edited. We watched feeds. We saw live footage of anything you could have possibly done. And this was your game move this season. Posting up on a bed, arms crossed, looking around, judging. That's Chrissy's MO. Like, I'm sorry. Like, did it get her to the end? Yes, but like, she was never going to win. I mean, we know this. At this point, really, I mean, yeah, this is a problem with the nature of the game and the structure and kind of, why I think it needs to be retooled a little bit. And we've touched on that at this point, is that, with this last week, there's really not a whole lot left to talk about because, as we indicated on Wednesday, Taryn did some polls, some initial polling. I mean, Jason runs away with the voting seemingly in both scenarios. So it's, people are going to vote for who they want to vote for. We could sit here and talk about, why you should vote for this person or why you should vote for this person. But ultimately, like, the people who are out there are making neverjason.com. They're going to vote one way no matter what you tell them. And there's other people who are going to vote a different way no matter what you tell them.
Okay, well, let's jump into some of your guys' questions. Again, hashtag happy hour on Twitter to send those in. This one, speaking of what Alex was just talking about, this one's from Chi-Town Patty. Chi-Town Patty says, is a BBOTT too likely? And is that something the LFC are looking forward to after what this season entailed? Taryn, BBOTT 2, do you want to see it? And do you think it's going to happen?
Do I want to see it? I why not? You know, I'm up for it. Like, I have not enjoyed the season. I think it's incredibly, I think most of it has been very boring, especially this latter half. I don't like the format. I don't like what it does to the audience, but it's still something. So you're like, I think the format is going to make it a lackluster season, like 9 times out of 10. But there could be that one time where it's like, hey, this was actually exciting. And we really, like, everybody gets behind the winner. And, like, it's a Tim Dormer, and he's amazing. And we're all like, yeah, like, awesome. Like, let's do this. So if they want to do it, then I'm not going to stop them.
Alex, what do you think about that? You in the same boat?
Yeah, sure. Because, I mean, ultimately, the difference from BB1, I keep coming back to the idea that BB1 to BB2 is such a vast difference that who knows what a BBOTT2 could look like. So if you're presenting me with the option of, you know, more Big Brother or less Big Brother, I'm going to go with more and just hope it's good.
All right. Well, let's take this next question. This one is from Edward Morris, Edmo. He says, Taryn, do we lose Alex? I see I think we lost him. His mic is muted. And it's terrible because I got to this. Yeah. I had this one question that was specifically for Alex, and I messed up. Oh, there he's here. Okay, he's here.
So I needed to refresh. This stuff is just, I'm sorry. I apologize for this to everyone who's listening. This is very unprofessional, and it's really pissing me off. So.
Oh, well, it's okay,
this should
Alex.
Cheer you up.
This question will cheer you up. This one is from Edward Morris. Edmo says, is Alex single? Alex Kidwell, do you care to answer?
Hey, Jordan, you know the answer to this question. Everyone knows the answer to this question. This has been addressed. It's been established. Alex is very, very single.
Okay, and a follow-up question. This one's from Anne. She says, is Alex Kidwell single after his love tour? So yes or no? So still yes.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's like, oh, you're going to be less single after a love tour?
Apparently, oh, yeah. You might have found love.
Nothing screams monogamy like a love tour. Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, hey, you get to try out a lot of new things, and then maybe one sticks.
Well, nothing sticks. I guess. I don't know what to tell you. We're open to options and ideas in life.
More love tours in the future.
Yes, sure. Yes. Stay tuned. Spring 2017 coming to New York City. Alex Kidwell's second love tour. Be ready.
Check, I hate you guys.
Check to see if it's coming to a city near you. Okay. This next question is from. This question is from Sandy Brooks. Sandy says, rank the importance of the following for BBOTT. America's vote, competition wins, social game, strategic game. Okay, so again, rank the importance of the following for Big Brother Over the Top. America's vote, competition wins, social game, strategic game. Alex Kidwell, how would you rank those?
Okay. Say them one more time for me. I'm sorry.
I'll throw it to Taryn.
Yeah, do that.
Taryn.
America's vote with a bullet, and the other two really don't even matter in the
Well, there's like, three. There were three. It was competition right. win, social game, strategic game. So the rest doesn't even matter, you're saying?
Well, okay. So I think having America behind you.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
And I'd say social game too, probably.
Honestly, I think it's like having America behind you, then coming off as not being a threat, and then being able to win competitions if you need to.
Yeah, like for the first half, social game more, and like then for the first half, it's like social game 2, competition 3, and as the game goes, it shifts and becomes competition 2, social game 3, I would say.
So you guys would say strategic game, Taryn, doesn't really matter very much in OTT.
No, I don't think it matters much at all, to be honest. I think if anything, it could almost be a detriment. So, I mean, unless you're starting to think in a different strategic way, like the traditional strategic game just doesn't work here. And you have to start thinking like you have to redefine what strategic means in Big Brother OTT. You have to understand what works with America and what doesn't work with America. And even if you do that, there's still a lot that's going to be left up to variance because you can't tell what they're thinking. And so you need to, I think the strategic game is pour everything into coming off as not a threat, as somebody that's very weak, but still talk a decent game in the diary room and come off as likable enough. Like that's your strategy. There's nothing, there's no like positioning. There's no like, oh, I'm going to betray this person here and like make a move here. Like there's none of that. That's not what this game is.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think, and Taryn, you make an interesting point about like the possibility for variance. Like if we were to see a much more moldable, open, kind of like, you know, ready to mix it up type of cast, then who knows? I think there's possibility that there could be strategic variance in the future, but it would involve like a very unique cocktail of individuals that are all kind of thinking in a very different kind of way than we got this season. I mean, it just makes me think of like, you know, I have watched enough BBUK and Celebrity BB to see people try to incorporate different elements of strategy and different kinds of strategies to that. And it is interesting to see because ultimately that is a popularity vote, but you do see, I mean, I can't help but remember like when Perez Hilton played, he was in there just like purposely being as antagonistic as possible. And then he would go to the cameras and be like, I'm playing the game so good right now, and be like doing a little dance and stuff. And it didn't work for him, but like you get that at least like someone was thinking along the lines of like, I'm going to do a thing in the, and granted, you know, this is probably who he is in person too, but I can't really speak to that. So, you know, the idea of strategy looms, I think. It's just, it's always going to take a backseat to just being someone that people don't want to evict.
All right, let's take this next question. This is from Dominic Malpedi. Dominic says, plenty to debate with OTT. How about the length and number of house guests? Should it be less for another season? So what do you think about that, Taryn? Should there be more house guests or fewer house guests, and should the season be longer or shorter or just the same?
I'm fine with the number of house guests. I feel like, you know, we don't want too many less because it's hard enough to sometimes find somebody to root for, especially in a season that relies on you rooting for people. But I do think they could make it shorter. I think that we've clearly seen that at the end of the season, there has just been nothing since that veto competition at Final Five. Like, and even before then, it was still like probably nothing's going to happen. And so I think they really need to just speed up this ending process. I mean, they need to do that in the real game as well. But at least in the real game, there's still stuff that could happen. There's still, you know, even if it's just like Paul going back and forth between James and Nicole about like, we're both going to take each other, right? Like there's still stuff happening. So I think, you know, keep the same amount of people, drop it back like a week or two, throw in another double eviction or something, and just like really speed up the end game. That's what I think they need to do.
Alex Kidwell, what's your thoughts?
Well, I agree. I always talk about, you know, we run out of material to a degree towards the end of seasons. We start making jokes about how they get Jenga in the house and there's nothing to do. And I mean, right. This is always a thing. And they do usually expedite it even a little better with the summer shows. They have like a secret eviction a couple days, you know, prior, like kind of halfway through the week. So at least it has a the idea of wrapping up at least to it, even if it doesn't really wrap up too quickly in reality. But with this, yeah, I mean, it really has felt like it's dragged because, you know, it's not like there was a lot going on, a lot of moving and shaking this season to begin with. So then when you remove any kind of game mechanics that are being generated, and now the game is at a standstill and the players were already at a standstill, just waiting and reacting to what the game threw at them, then yeah, you end up with this total just stagnation where nothing goes on at all.
All right, let's take this one from John Densford. John says, "What's the worst prank you've ever pulled on someone or the internet?" So that's an interesting question. So worst prank you've ever pulled on someone / the internet. I can see both Alex and Taryn are thinking. So I will put my name. I will go first, and I will let you guys know my worst prank that I ever did. It was about 1 year ago. It was probably about October of 2015, and Alex knows this prank. One night, Donkey Kong, exactly. So I was out with some of my former castmates from Big Brother Canada, and one of the females from my season, Willow, she actually just moved to my hometown, Vancouver. And so we all went out for drinks, and it was a fun night. And as a joke, I said, oh, I should I should propose to you. That would be really funny. We should fake an engagement. And so I posted a picture proposing to Willow, and it's still on my Instagram if you want to check it out, at Jordan Parhar. People believed it was real, and my mom texted me and said, well, you and Willow are engaged, question mark. And like, I wasn't even dating her. It was very silly and stupid. And I think it's pretty dumb, but, yeah, it got a lot of people very mad. They were not very happy, Alex Kidwell.
Yeah, what's worse, proposing, the prank of proposing to someone you're in love with or proposing to someone you're not even dating?
Yeah, I think mine is better, Taryn, because I wasn't actually, like, at least with the James and Natalie prank, right? Like, the idea that, oh, it's a prank that they got engaged, like, oh, you think we're so in love that we'd get engaged? Like, like from Natalie's perspective, like, wow, you guys really think I would get married to James? Really? Like, that's a little insulting. No, or at least with mine, we weren't even dating, so no one gets their feelings.
Yeah, I think the difference is when it's you and Willow, people are like, their reaction is like confused. Like what? Like, what are you, what is this? This doesn't make any sense. With Natalie and James, and like, you know, they have every right to do whatever they want. But like, when people see that, I mean, even myself, but like a heartless robot, I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, that's great for them. And then you find out it's a different mix of reactions and emotions. And I think that's why they get, you know, they get different responses.
So Alex, what's the worst prank that you've pulled on someone or the internet?
I mean, I still can't think of one in particular. Like,
really?
It's just too
I'm
many.
Surprised. I'm surprised that you haven't pulled a prank on someone.
Oh, I'm not saying there's not one. I just, there's so many floating in my head that I just cannot latch on. Like, it's like,
sound like Chrissy.
It's like when you're in the, radio stations used to do where, like, they put somebody in a little wind tunnel tube and just blow money around, and, like, people would try to grab onto money, but you just can't grab onto any one thing. That's the thing right now with memories of all the horrible things I've done.
Okay. That's also Alex trying to like get his internet working. He's like, no, he's like trying to grab these dials.
Trying to grab that money that he was throwing around the other night.
Yeah, exactly. No, I feel like I can see like the Wi-Fi bouncing off the wall, and I'm trying to like harness it and rein it in.
Get in here. Taryn, I feel like you've never pulled a prank in your life. I feel like you're not really the type, but correct me if I'm wrong.
I sometimes feel like my entire podcasting career is one big prank. but I think probably the high point is Cody didn't make a dumb move, right? Like,
okay, yeah.
I feel like that was probably the best moment of my pranking career.
So, and just to refresh people's memories, what did you do, Taryn?
Oh, well, we did the Dumbest Moves podcast, and I said it wasn't the dumbest move, and that was all I needed to do, really.
Yeah, and people
got riled up.
People got riled up, including Alex and I. We were like, what the hell, Taryn? Like, we didn't actually realize you were just pranking us. But, yeah, well, because you left it out of your top 10. You didn't even
this feels
it
leaving
this
it
feels
out of the
like
top
one of those prank. Like, if Glenn were to come out today and be like, it was a prank, this feels like one of those. It's like a prank in hindsight. But I don't recall you saying it was a prank, Taryn.
I literally said on the podcast that leaving it out of the top 10 was the prank part. What I truly do believe that if his goal is to have friendship, then he made the right decision for himself. But it's still an incredibly dumb move, and it's in the top 10. And I said that on the podcast. But that was, I mean, it still got the reaction I wanted.
Okay. Let's take this question from Primal Instinct. Primal Instinct says, does the creation of neverjason.com and the threats which have resulted in it being taken down prove how out of hand this season has gotten? Alex Kidwell, do you want to explain? Because in the pre-show, I talked to Taryn about neverjason.com, and Taryn said he hadn't even checked it out. So, Alex, did you go to neverjason.com?
Yes, I did check it out. It's actually down. I mentioned it earlier, but it's down now. You can't go there. And I believe, as far as the Reddit post is concerned, it's because the guy says he was getting a bunch of death threats for it. So I didn't want that, so he had to take it down, which that's a shame, man. I mean, like, you may not agree with the guy, and I don't even agree that neverjason.com is a good use of one's time, but like he's it's free speech. He's entitled to put whatever he wants on the internet, and he shouldn't get death threats for it. Like, this is absurd. Like, people need to chill. It just in general, everyone should just slow your roll. Jason's gonna win almost assuredly. Terrence polls predicted. So, you know, let Never Jason guy have his fun then. Like, it's not gonna change anything. And we've already established, like, if Never Jason makes you so angry, then clearly it's not changing your mind. So whose mind do you think this guy's really going to change with all his like anti-Jason? Like, Jason said this one time and this other time. Like, you know, I think both sides at this point are just, you know, there's nothing left for fans to do.
Taryn, you have anything to add on that in terms of the whole Never Jason situation and the backlash that resulted from it?
Well, I think it's interesting the debates going around as to who deserves it, who played a better game. I think that's a very difficult thing to determine. This is the first season of this game, and any data that we could have had even within this game has been drastically tainted by the fact that somebody came in with a fan base in a game that's about having fan bases. So for really anybody to claim that somebody played a better game or deserves it is kind of silly. I've been saying that I think Jason has played the best game, not because he's done anything, but because he has the fan base, and having the fan base is what makes a good game in this game. If Jason loses this final vote for whatever reason to somebody else, then I think they will have played a better game than Jason. So his having played a best game is entirely dependent upon winning this final vote. And it's interesting to see all the minutiae and the details, because barely any of them really mattered in the scope of things. You know, ultimately, Jason was probably in more danger than Morgan ever was, than Justin ever was, and than Chrissy ever was. So in that sense, he's probably played the worst game of the four of them, but he has had the audience behind him. And whether or not that was his doing is irrelevant, because he has it. So it's an interesting thing. And I'm very curious how, if we do see another season of this show, how we will ultimately determine and shape what qualifies a good player, because we just don't have the history here like we do for regular Big Brother.
Okay, let's take this one. This is from Rob Sesternino. Rob says, what do Taryn and Alex think of Scott's chart of why Morgan should win? Now, Scott Dennis of BBOTT fame has put out a chart laying out all of the things Morgan has done week by week during her time in the house, and is campaigning for her to win the game. Taryn, have you seen the chart?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, it's sort of what I was talking about, where like people are getting into the minutiae of the game. I don't think a lot of it matters ultimately, but it is a good example of the details of like really, really Morgan wasn't in much danger throughout most of the season. And, you know, what that can be like what the reason for that is debatable. Like, was it her doing? Probably a decent amount of it was. She had a good social game. She was good in the competitions when it mattered. And she was likable enough that she was never like explicitly targeted for a long time. So like, there is a lot to praise in her game, insofar that we can. And it's a good way of looking at that. But again, if she can't rack up the votes to win the game in the end, then it doesn't really matter. We decide how good her game is, because we are the key element in the game.
And just to clear something up, people in the chat are saying, and Rob himself is saying that Scott didn't actually create the chart. He just tweeted it out. But still, Scott is promoting this chart that was made by a OTT fan or a plastics fan. Alex Kidwell, do you think Morgan, like, if you never vote on these things, as you said in the last podcast, even though you lied about it two times, who would you vote for? Looking at it objectively, has Morgan done enough to earn your vote?
Sure, but so has everyone in that sense. You know, I guess like I'm not gonna be voting, but if I was, I think it's, you know, it's easy to make a case for any of these people, and it's very hard to make a case for why one over the other specifically. And you're coming down to minutia and brass tacks that ultimately can kind of go either way in a vast majority of pretty much any scenario other than Chrissy. Chrissy just, you know, played Jason's game, but much worse and safer. So I think that's like the one that's really hard for me to get behind. But ultimately, I think if you want to sit there and, you know, really argue that Morgan deserves to win, I'll be like, yeah, And if you are like, no, absolutely, Jason deserves to win, and you give those points, I'll be like, yeah, I would agree. And then if you're someone that really feels like that about Justin and you want to decide how you hated him and how you, when everyone hates that, you go in and be nice to that, that's probably as well. You know, it's just, it's very hard at this point, I think, to tell anyone that their vote, like, it, you know, people have been watching the season as much as I have. So their perspective is going to be their perspective. I think this has been a particularly interesting season in that, you know, early on, I think people gravitated towards people that they generally like on these kinds of shows or that kind of represent their archetype. And then they, you know, tended to see things through those players' viewpoints. So it just created further and further skewed interpretations of what was going on. And as a result, ultimately, it's just going to, you know, create a different, you know, we've kind of been reading different books as a result.
If somebody asked me, if somebody said, I want to vote for the person that played the best game, who do I vote for? I would tell them, who do you like better? That's the person you should vote for, because that's the person that played the best game to you. And ultimately, whoever has the most amount of people that think they played the best game because they like them the best is going to be the person that played the best game. So if you're thinking, if you're somebody that wants to be a non-bitter jury, well, I want to vote for the best player, vote for who you like the best, because that's what this game is.
Taryn, who is your Canadian fan voting for?
Even after I said that, still only her. She wants to vote for Jason, so there it is.
Okay, so Taryn is voting for Jason by proxy. Well done. Is it a person Canadian, or are they from somewhere else in the world?
Well, hopefully it's Canadian. Let's say that. She hasn't shown me a passport or anything.
Oh, okay. So we're assuming it's Canadian. We don't know. We don't know who it is or where they're from. But okay, let's keep moving along. This question is going to be from... this one's from Gary Hogan. Gary says, what's more important, America's nominee or America's vote? The HOH has no vote, so if America noms someone, then... Okay, that's sorry, Gary. I don't know what you're trying to say there. So, anyway, let's just stick with the initial question. What's more important, America's nom or America's vote? Taryn, what would you say?
In terms of what's important, like
in terms of what controls the game more, yeah. What's more powerful?
The nomination is by far the more impactful yeah. thing. The vote doesn't even matter if you can't put somebody on the block, really. I mean, it matters in the sense that, like, you'll be able to choose between the two people who are nominated, but the nomination is what turns the game from something like Big Brother into something almost more like Survivor, where, like, anybody almost can be up for elimination, and there's two alliances voting against each other, and then the vote becomes important because that can be the tiebreaker between the two sides. So without that nomination, it's much less powerful and much less impactful.
Yeah, the Americans vote. I mean, it has a minimal impact. Really, all that does by itself is allow house guests to potentially try to game for the possibility, like, maybe we can read who's less possible and stack votes that way. That's really all that provides. But the America's nominee, I mean, like Taryn says, it really does fundamentally change the game. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, like, Survivor is a game where the majority rules. I mean, you can see players like an Abby Maria be very antagonistic towards people who are on the bottom and still make their way to the end in a majority alliance like a Tandang, because control, whereas traditional Big Brother, when anyone can win head of household, then they're safe and they can protect their people. You know, obviously you can't be on bad terms with any one person or you're likely to be out. So this changes everything dramatically, where even one nominee that the head of household doesn't control makes it so you don't really even necessarily have, especially if you think you're in good with America, why should you even go have to, you know, try to make nice with the HOH and try to really play the, you know, strategic diplomat game, which to me is the nature of what makes a good Big Brother player, is someone who everyone thinks they're, you know, an ally. Nobody thinks they're coming after them until it's too late.
Okay, let's take this question. This one is from Edward Morris, Edmo. He says, would any of you guys rewatch Big Brother Over the Top? Taryn, what would it have to take for you to rewatch this season?
A lot of money.
a lot of money. Okay. Alex, what about you? I mean, for me, it wouldn't be so bad because you could just watch the weekly recaps, it's only one episode a week. So it's not as bad rewatching this compared to like a regular Big Brother season. So in that sense, it's not as bad to rewatch, is it?
Yeah, but so much less happened than in a general Big Brother season. You know, I mean, it would be hard for me to want to rewatch it. And then also a lot of it just really dragged. And a lot of even the episodes you're talking about had just a lot of time where it's just like, all right, we know where this is going. Can we just kind of get through it? And I think that's kind of the nature, again, like I spoke to it earlier, but the game played the players a little bit this season rather than the other way around. You know, starting from early on, there were so many twists thrown at them that they're just reacting to twists. And the game is moving at a pace that they're just trying to keep up with, right? So, but when the game is not throwing anything at you, that's when players can start like turning the wheel themselves and creating their own forward momentum. We never saw that at any point this season because the twists just kept coming fast and furious. They never really went away until the end game, at which point, I mean, everyone's opinions and, you know, alliances are molded in concrete. So I think the problem is like, you know, the thing we always talk about, you know, Survivor's so great because at the merge, like the merge episodes of Survivor are so awesome, right? Everyone's on the same beach. You got like 13, 12 people all playing as free agents trying to figure out what to do. And it's like Big Brother seems to like shy away from that. And that's what makes it its best. Like we got a team twist this summer. And then we got like, you know, some stuff this time really made it less likely for people. It really seemed to encourage division. And I get people like the two sides of the house, but I hope some people who look back on BB6 fondly now, you know, think about it a little more and realize like, yeah, BB6 was fun for drama, but there really wasn't a lot of strategic innovation there either, because the problem with having two sides is that anytime anyone tries to play the game, they just get ratted out. And like, you know, is that fun? I guess it depends on who you ask. But to me, it's just it gets old.
Well, that brings up an interesting question, Alex. This one is from XOXO Allison. She says, the BB community always begs for a house divide. Has BBOTT proved that we as fans cannot handle it? Are there any ramifications for future seasons? Taryn, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I know that some people have sort of come to the, because I know I have been, I think Alex has been with me on this, but like I've never been a fan of house divides. I think that it limits the strategy even in a regular season, in this season way more so. And I think this season has sort of demonstrated to a lot of people that like maybe we were onto something there, that maybe they're not the best thing in the world. But I know that I'm sure there's plenty of people who enjoyed the house divide this time and they loved the back and forth. So those people are probably even more energized about like wanting house divides. I think probably the concept of a house divide is in lower estimation than it had been before the season, but probably not by that much.
Alex, anything to add there?
No, I'd say that's probably fair. I mean, I gave my opinions on it, but my opinions aren't necessarily the majority. Like, you don't have to agree with me. That's totally fine. If you really got something out of this season that I did, then, you know, by all means, I'm happy for you, you know, really, truly. But I think just for my personal preference, as someone who gravitates towards the strategic game, who likes seeing new things, things I haven't seen before, I feel like you're more likely to see innovation when people are forced to outthink each other. And no one's going to be trying hard to outthink each other when they're having to try to just keep up with thinking about the rules of a very increasingly complex game.
Okay, this question is from a familiar face, Amon Adwin. So shout out to Amon. Hope he's doing well. Former member of Team Alex. Amon says, what's more likely to start an argument at your Thanksgiving table, BBOTT or politics? I feel like, is it Taryn, how sad is it that we're even asking this question? Isn't that crazy?
I mean, it is crazy. Like I honestly, this is my Twitter, but like on my Twitter, I think there's the same amount of passion between both subjects. And that's insane to me. And like, kind of almost in a good way, but also not, because like it's great that people are so excited about it, but I wish it wasn't in such a negative way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's important to actions and reactions should be somewhat equivalent if you can help it, right? And the idea that like someone made a website you don't like, so you're going to send them a death threat, like not necessarily proportionate, you know? So I think that's a little different than like, you know, politics really affects every day of your life. Like the decisions that get made on, you know, in government impact you and impact all of us. So I think it's completely reasonable for that to be something that charges everyone. And I like that people are invested and passionate about Big Brother. I just wish we could stop just short of like coming for each other's wigs. Like we don't need to be doing any wig snatching. I don't know why this needs to exist. Like people talk about it like it's a great thing. I don't know. I mean, I get the entertainment value of it when we're watching like the RuPaul's Drag Race or Big Brother Over the Top or whatever. But like with each other on Twitter, like I don't think it's really necessary. Like if you want to use a funny meme or something, fine. But it's just I'm not a fan of drag culture. That I don't mean like drag queens, but like the culture of dragging people online. How it's really just taken off in recent years. I'm not wild about this like vortex of negativity. I wish we could all just spread the love, Jordan.
Hashtag Alex hates dragging. Drag him. Drag him, Queens.
Now I'm gonna have to go be seen at a drag show so I can dispel this rumor and put it to bed. That's all right. We can do that.
Alex hates dragging. Okay, early candidate for hashtag. Iron Pony Chef says, Rob mentioned last week that Jason played a Boston Rob game when comparing things to Survivor. Is it, though, more of a Russell Hance game? What do you guys think? So is Jason playing more of a Russell Hance game than a Boston Rob game, Taryn Armstrong?
You're saying production hit a care package by the waterfall?
Yeah, the one camera just like panned to it, and Jason's like, oh, that's where the care package
is. Care package right here under the bridge. I found it without even being given a clue because I'm the greatest.
Is that like a cross between Jason and Russell Hance?
I don't know.
That's great. I love that. Taryn, go ahead.
I honestly don't think Jason is either of those games. I think that certainly Boston Rob had a lot of advantages going into his game. But I, you know, he didn't really make a lot of mistakes either. Like certainly, probably not the best social game. He probably only wins against the people he's up against. As far as strategic errors go, I saw a lot more from Jason than I did from Boston Rob. So I wouldn't necessarily say that's a good comparison. And is he Russell Hance? If he loses this final vote, maybe. But honestly, strategically, I think Russell Hance doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He makes a lot of social mistakes. So that's probably not the best comparison either. And certainly if he wins this final vote, he's no Russell Hance because Russell Hance can't win a season. So I'm not sure either one works that well.
Alex, how does Jason fare if there's a real jury?
Well, let's think about who that would be. That would be, where would we say it would start? Would it start at Neely?
Sure. Let's say it starts at Neely.
So if it starts at Neely, I guess, Neely's vote for probably Jason. You know, especially because Chrissy was just dragging her on feeds the other day. What was that about? I thought that was your girl. Scott probably votes for Morgan. Alex, Morgan. Whitney? I don't know. That's a toss-up. Danielle, vote for Jason. Shelby for Morgan, probably. And then Justin, probably for Jason. So Whitney is the deciding vote.
Wow.
Well, honestly.
Oh, my.
I mean, after everything that's happened this week, I don't know if Justin votes Jason, to be honest.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it would be an interesting game if this was a jury deliberation. I think we would be seeing a really interesting debate happening. And I guess to an extent we are online, but it's not as cordial as it might be in a fancy house where everyone can just take a break and go get a cocktail and sun.
Taryn, don't you think though that just Jason would have treated Justin and Jason and Chrissy, don't you think they would have treated Justin differently if they had known, okay, he's potentially going to be on the jury?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But like in order to make that case, you also have to say that like all of them would have treated all of them differently if that was the case. You know what I mean? Like
that's
certainly
true.
This is the most recent and the easiest to point out, like he wouldn't have been doing this, but we're looking at the entire game as is, and as is, I'm not sure that Justin votes for him.
Okay, let's jump to this one. This one is from Pierre-Luc Savoie. Pierre-Luc says, other than America's nominee, what else should be changed in this format? I suggest something like negative care packages. So interesting. So care packages, I guess, that punish people. So I'll let you each suggest one thing. Taryn, I guess, other than getting rid of America, is there anything we can do to help this thing?
I understand that they went through some changes with the competitions, and I appreciate that effort, but I would like to see more changes made. You know, I was really excited about the concept or the idea of having really different challenges, like the BB bug, and having the kind of things where there's not a big setup, there's no timed stuff, like maybe there's like a puzzle element or like a riddle or a scavenger hunt kind of thing. Like, that's fine, but like more socially engineered games where you have to maneuver around people and you have to outthink them and stuff like that. Like that would be the perfect thing to have on this kind of season. We saw like they had so much potential for good competitions to show on the feeds, and instead they gave us a lot of really boring ones. And I feel like it was almost just to be like, see, you don't want to see these, audience. You don't want to see these. We don't show you these for a reason because they're super boring. It's like, well, then give us more interesting competitions. I'd like that.
Alex, what do you think? What's one thing you would change?
You know, I mean, to be honest, I was really hopeful that this would be, and I guess, you know, maybe I was being, of course, I was being naive. I mean, they had so little time to turn this thing around, but I was really hoping that OTT would be like an opportunity to kind of like, fine, if you want to make it more twist filled, but think outside the box. Like, we don't need to stay within the structure of what we've created as Big Brother. Like, let's make it like some kind of imaginative playground. Like, I would probably, you know, and I think I would tailor more towards like a Mario Party kind of thing. Like, I'd build an item shop over in the little corner. And like, yeah, I mean, you remember like the golf competition where like they had to work up to a certain amount of points and they could cash in for different things. Like, I would have like a guy who just like, anytime you want to go to the item shop, a guy would just like pop up like, yes, and just be like able to sell you things and like different things you could use in the game. And like, you would earn up points throughout the course of the season through competitions and through other things and through not getting nominated or whatever. And then you could cash in these points for like an emergency veto or like an emergency whatever, or like something that allows you to steal someone else's thing. Or like, I just feel like there's so much potential for things that could be done, and we're just not even scratching the surface of what Big Brother could be. I mean, I would love to see it run somewhere where someone can spy on other people, like a secret room. Is it that outrageous to have a secret room that like we ensure is found by one person, and then we like have some kind of setup where like there's got to be ways that we can think about this and make this something that is neither Big Brother nor just BB UK. I mean, there's room to work here.
I think we need to start a petition right now to get Alex as the item shop owner that pops up and says that.
Can I interest you in a veto, sir?
No, but the bet. Well, first off, Alex, you just envisioning the yes, that guy from The Simpsons.
Love that guy.
As the item guy. Like, I had a stroke. That guy. I think it would, yes, Taryn, I agree with what you're saying, although I think it would be better if we make a petition for Alex Kidwell to be the item shop owner in, or the item shop keeper in BBOTT2, except he has to wear a toad costume. I think that would be the best part. So Alex has he has the little mushroom hat, and he's got like I don't know, like a diaper and like a vest,
blue vest over shirtless.
Alex, please go as that for Halloween next year. That would be so funny if you went as Toad. Okay. Let's see. This question is, this one is from Rob Sesternino again. Rob says, after seeing this season play out, would Jordan play in Big Brother Canada OTT this fall? First, guys, would you suggest that I play OTT, BB Can OTT? Would you say yes, Alex Kidwell?
Oh yeah, well, it works. Seemed to work out for Jason pretty good. Why not?
Taryn, what do you think?
Your podcast has you with a base, Jordan. You'd have some voters going in. I think you'd be in pretty good shape.
Well, yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. I think it's a yes if American votes count. It's a no if Canadian votes only count. Because I think. The American audience alone could probably tip you over the scales for the Canadian audience. I mean, that would be great for you. Like,
we could rock the boat. Yes.
People claimed that we were controlling this season, but clearly we weren't. But like, surely we have some sort of base. Like, there's some sort of decent amount of people that from RHAP that would watch Big Brother OTT Canada, and they would want you to do well. I think. I mean, at least I think they do. I don't know.
Well, they've never been able to keep us out past 10. I remember BB Can too. I was voting for everything. I just like registered myself as living in like Saskatoon or something like this. Like, yes, that's me.
And as Rob points out in the chat, I've been doing some solids for Canadian voters recently, so they owe me one.
That's true.
Cash that in to make sure Jordan wins BB Canada OTT.
That's true. Emma in the chat says, "Hey, I would vote for you, JP." So thank you, Emma. So no, I OTT, I don't think I would. I really don't, just because as we saw in Big Brother Canada, the votes don't really tend to go my way very often. So I'd rather just stay in my garage with my green screen and podcast about it rather than going to play. But I don't know.
Maybe Jordan is one of the few Big Brother Canada house guests with bad flashbacks of a Canada's vote. They kicked him off of the jury that he was the foreman of.
Yes, I was the head of jury household, and they kicked me off of it.
That would have never flown on the OJ trial,
right?
Ultimately, like, even if you win, the question is it going to mean anything, really? Like, if you go in and you win because an RJP fan, like, what is that? Like, what does that do for you if you're somebody who's a competitive, like, who loves the game?
And also, here's the other thing: if it's the same format style as Big Brother US to Big Brother OTT, we go from $100,000 to half of that. So, but I know in Canada, they'd probably go even cheaper. So it'd probably be like 10% of that. So for $10,000, that's all it really would be for me to lose my mind and go crazy again and have to deal with PTSD from Big Brother and all these people dragging me on Twitter and all these other things. So no, I don't think I would do it. Maybe a regular one, but even then.
Yeah, you win $50,000 from the brick and you lose $150,000 to personal, you know, sessions for therapy.
It's true. It's true. These reality shows mess you up. Thank you for the question, Rob. It was an interesting one. Okay, let's see. Let's see if we got anything else. I mean, it's a lot of not like there. We have Fat Tyson Apostle said, "Should I buy a 4K TV?" Okay. So there we go.
Not yet.
Well, no. It depends on what your No.
Okay.
Unless you have the money to spend, it's not worth it.
I was gonna say it's better than your Black Friday deals look like, but I kind of no.
Okay, well, Taryn, hold on. I was thinking of getting it for this. This is interesting. I was just saying this is like a bunch of questions are useless and they don't matter. But tell me, why shouldn't I get a 4K TV? Because I honestly was thinking of getting one.
Well, it's just there's not enough content that's 4K yet. Like you can like maybe stream some upscaled Netflix stuff, but it's not worth it. I mean, like if you can get like a cheap 4K TV, then I guess why not? But like, don't go out of your way to get a 4K TV yet, because all you need to do is wait, and then there'll be more content that's 4K, and it'll be cheaper to get the 4K TV. So it, for me, it's a no-brainer.
Okay, so Fat Tyson Apostle, you're welcome. There you go. There's some shopping advice for you. This question is from JB Peak. JB says, "What was the moment that caused this season to derail? Could it have zigged instead of zagged to fix it?" So Alex Kidwell, is there a moment this season where if something would have gone a different way, the entire season would have changed and you think maybe we could have looked back a little bit more fondly on Big Brother Over the Top?
No, I think it just comes down to matters of opinion and the game mechanic. I think some people would argue it didn't need fixing. Some people are perfectly happy with this season and with this result and with this cast and with the entire package. And I, you know, far be it for me to tell them they're wrong. You know what I mean? Like, that's a matter of opinion. I can't tell you you're wrong about that. But, you know, if it's just my, you know, just coming down to my opinion, I think it comes down again to the game mechanic to, you know, maybe a few of the care packages were too powerful and some of the others were really weak, relatively speaking. And then certainly America's nominee. I mean, I just keep coming back to that. It really does make it a different game. We saw it in Big Brother 15. And I mean, the MVP really changed everything. I mean, as soon as they found out about the MVP, everyone started like thinking about the game differently, playing the game differently. It saved Alyssa. I mean, so it really is a huge game changer. And one I'm not excited to see anytime in the future. I think if we're playing Big Brother, then the HOH needs to mean something. Then, you know, as soon as there's a care, there's a America's Nom or a third Nom of any kind, then when people are jumping up and down celebrating winning head of household, it's kind of false anytime you see it going forward. Like, you should remember that, oh, I'm excited. Oh, wait, I should temper expectations because my best friend can still go home on my head of household. Like, that's not what this game is supposed to be for me. So I would like to see it not go that way. And I think there's plenty of ways we could still make it, you know, popularity driven and, you know, interesting and stuff without, like, stealing, kind of, without giving America HOH power. I think that's the big one.
Taryn, what do you think? Do you agree with Alex, or do you are you in a different mindset thinking there's a specific moment? I see people in the chat are saying the co-HOH is where things flipped.
Yeah, I think if you are somebody who was a Ball Smashers fan, then the co-HOH is where it went downhill. I mean, even if you are a Late Night Jamboree fan, that's where the season really slowed down. So that's definitely an easy place to point the blame. But ultimately, I'm with Alex. The second they announced the format, I think most of us had a decent idea that it wasn't going to be the greatest thing in the world. There was some hope in the beginning because it seemed very interesting. But I mean, I said at the very beginning of the season, I think that ultimately what we're going to end up with is half of the fan base feeling really disenfranchised because they don't get what they want. And that's what's happened. And not only has that happened, but it's happened in a fairly boring way. And so I think that we were doomed for this outcome. And, you know, I'm sure there are some people that are happy with the season, but I think there are a lot of people that aren't as well. And I think that's the reason why. And that's ultimately the turning point for why a lot of people aren't going to like any kind of season like this.
Okay, let's take one more. This one is from John Densford again. John says, if you had a fake Twitter, what would your username be? So if you had a fake Twitter, what would your username be? Alex Kidwell, what do you think about that? If you had a fake Twitter, what would it be?
I don't know.
I have one.
Go for it.
Taryn has one. Okay.
At one lucky gay.
Oh, God. Not at robot Taryn. That's not your fake Twitter, Taryn.
Well, obviously, I mean, those ones are obvious, but the real trick is getting people to think that your fake Twitter account doesn't like you, because then it has more credibility.
Well, I've heard the best way to go with these things is numerically. So I think I'm going to go like at 30 is the new 15.
30 is the new 15. Okay. You should add capital L, lowercase o, and then capital L after that as well. So... I think that'll add some credence to it.
Yeah. But no, if we're like I, you know, I've always liked coming up with aliases, like, you know, the Joey Rodriguez's of it all. So I'm sure there's plenty of good ones I could give you.
Okay.
I can give you a whole list if you're looking for aliases.
Okay. Rob Sestrinino says Chef Joe Rodriguez. Hey, that would be like a good fantasy football team name. Okay, so we've had a lot of people ask us about the whole Glenn exposed party thing. So I think just briefly at the end of this thing, we should just talk about it. I just want to say, like, I'm sorry for Glenn. He seems like a very nice guy, but it seems like, you know, he's got a lot of inner demons. And yeah, Alex, I don't know if you have anything to add on it, but it just, it kind of is what it is. Everything's kind of been laid out at this point, right?
Yeah, it's unfortunate and, you know, pretty alarming. Well, I don't really know what to make of it. I'm just kind of befuddled over here about it all. But I think, you know, if you're trying to, you know, get around this kind of a thing, I think you either need to just kind of disappear for a while, or you know, just come out and be like, yeah, I was, you know, I was just being funny. Like, the best answer is just disappear for a while. I think that's what I would do right now. But I am, yeah, I feel for him. I'm not glad I'm not in this position personally. Sounds horrible.
Yeah, poor Glenn. Taryn, you have anything you want to add on that situation or anything in general before we get out of here?
I think certainly the whole situation was entertaining to a lot of people, and I think there's probably a lot of funny jokes that can come out of it. As far as, like, personally hounding Glenn, like, that's not something I'm into, regardless of you know, how funny it is necessarily. I'm somebody that tends to like to be patient as far as like saving my ultimate judgment on things. So that's what I'm ultimately going to do. But obviously, you know, it's a funny and entertaining situation. I think that it's probably one of the silliest things to come out of the Big Brother community in quite a while. So in that sense, you know, it is what it is.
What I will say about
it, I might also consider pulling a Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, I've never, you know, we touched on dressing in drag earlier, and I'm certainly not opposed to the idea if I felt like it would, you know, benefit my life in some way. And certainly, I think this is one of those rare moments where, you know, every option should be on the table when you're considering where to move next.
So you would pretend to be, you would call yourself Alex Doubtfire, and you would try to be a nanny to some poor kid in Silver Spring. Mm-hmm.
Hello, dearies. I'm here to talk Big Brother with you today.
I will say this about Glenn. A couple of things. One, everyone was like ripping Glenn because, okay, so he made this fake, the whole, and if you don't know about the hashtag Glenn Exposed Party, just search it on Twitter and you can see what's going on, or it's on Reddit. But what I will say is that Glenn got, you know, there's this second Twitter account that Glenn has, but people are saying, oh, well, look, Glenn has this third and fourth and fifth and sixth Twitter account. Is Glenn that dumb that he made six accounts? I kind of feel like that's just some fan that's really messing with him, right? Like, he wouldn't actually make all those accounts. I mean, Alex, you seem to disagree with me. I don't think Glenn would go to that length. I think he would see it and be like, okay, I'm caught, and I'm like, all right, I'm good. There's nothing else I can do. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? But I'll say that. And the other thing is that if Glenn wanted to improve his chances for All Stars, this is probably the best thing he could have done, because now everyone knows about Glenn, and everybody will always remember this, Alex Kidwell.
I mean, I'm not trying to disagree with you, Jordan, but I'm done making assumptions. Those days are done. I will assume nothing from this point forward.
I would say that I would be surprised if there weren't people making fake Glenn accounts. Like,
yes,
I would be surprised
as a
if
joke,
people weren't doing it.
Yeah. As a joke, like, I thought, like, I think that people think, like, oh, this would be so funny. I'm going to type in the same, like, in the exact same. It's very easy to mimic how he was typing with his LOLs and his, like, spaces in between commas and stuff like that. It's not hard to do. And also, like, people were just using the exact same thing that Glenn had said, or in the Joey Rodriguez account, like, oh, Glenn fan, or, like, defending the troll. Get rid of the vets, like all that stuff. Like, it's not hard to impersonate, make a fake account, Taryn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, Steven Jimenez just popped in and told me that we should lay off of Joey Rodriguez. So I think
I will say, if you enjoy this kind of thing, you should watch the movie Shattered Glass. It's about Stephen Glass, the New Republic writer that was caught making up stories. It's a very, very interesting movie, and ties in a lot with this.
I'm sorry. Rob Sestrino in the chat said destroy the fake Glens, but he spelled destroy DISTROY.
Have you ever seen the episode of The Simpsons where they're worried, like, someone's out to kill Homer, so they enlist Sideshow Bob to help them catch a killer? I think it's like a recent episode, and I haven't seen many of these, but so they have like a decoy Homer, and everyone in town starts showing up to beat it up. It turns out, like, he just finds out everyone hates him, and then Homer attacks it, and he's like, once I kill you, everyone will think I'm the real Homer. So reminds me of this, like, Glenn is going to take out imposter Glenn so he can be the real Glenn, but he's already the real Glenn.
Oh, man. What a situation. With that, I guess we should – someone in the chat said Glenception, Alex. But, yeah, I think we should wrap things up for today. Not a lot else to add. If you guys have ideas for hashtags in the chat, that would be greatly appreciated. I think Taryn already has a hashtag idea already. I know he does. And Paul Borges in the chat is saying Glenn didn't do it. Maya, I think Maya is the person who started the Glenn Exposed Party. She's here, so my goodness.
Party rage is on.
Yes. So if you guys want to start, give us hashtags ideas, that would be great. Rob, well, I guess we can go with what Rob has here. What do you guys think? Hashtag never Jordan. You guys like that?
It's good. I like it.
Hashtag never Jordan. Okay, so we're going to go with that instead of Taryn's Alex hates drag. We're going to go with...
Well, if you're on the Alex hates train, you can always throw in the Alex hates hashtags. Those are a regular occurrence.
Yeah. Those are welcome on the happy hour. But yes, we'll go with hashtag never Jordan is the hashtag for this edition of the show. Guys, just quick final thoughts from each of you. Alex Kidwell, I doubted it many times throughout this show. I kept thinking, oh dear, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. But you made it. You made it all the way through with your laggy internet, Alex. So anything you want to add?
I'm going to try to work on this before the next show. We'll see if we can't $6 million man it bigger, stronger, faster next time we come back.
Taryn, anything you want to add?
No.
Okay, nothing to add. So there we go. Simple. Okay, so just setting things up for you guys. So You Think You Can Podcast, that competition is going to be continuing, I believe, tomorrow night. Rob Cesternino is going to be back with Adam and with Melissa. So that'll be continuing the final round. Yes, and Rob is confirming in the chat. So yes, the finals are Monday night. So definitely tune in tomorrow night to check that out. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. On robhasawebsite.com. So that should be a lot of fun. Some more BBOTT stuff. So definitely get your questions in for that. So if you want to tweet Rob tomorrow using hashtag RHAP, that's the best way to get those in. Do that. Don't do it tomorrow. Don't do that now, because otherwise it'll get lost in the shuffle. And then there's going to be as well the regular Tuesday show will be happening after the whole, I guess, Taryn, when is that competition happening? Is it happening during the day or in the evening?
The HOH competition will happen at, I think, around 9 o'clock, and the podcast is currently scheduled for 10 p.m. Eastern. And Alex Willett will be on with us.
That's right.
Okay. So Alex Willett with the LFC and Rob, that should be a fun show. Wednesday night, there isn't really an episode, so I don't know 100% if Rob wants me to do a show or not. So we're not 100% sure if there will be a show then. So this actually might be the last for a happy hour of the OTT season. We'll see. And then again, as well, we've got Thursday night is the finale, so there will definitely be some finale coverage then as well. So best way to find out when the shows are is you can just follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Follow Rob Cesternino on Twitter at Rob Cesternino. And actually, okay, here we go. Rob and I are we're just going to communicate right now live on air. Rob says in the chat, can you do it post finale? So I'm going to confirm. Here we go. Yes, I will be doing the post finale show. Right. So Thursday night, I will be doing the show. So no show Wednesday. I'll be live with you guys Thursday night after the BBOTT finale, which should be wild, or not. Maybe it'll be nice and tame, but we have no idea how this finale is going to go. We don't know who's going to be there. We don't know if it's a reunion or what the deal is, but we will be live after the finale to break it all down for you. And that should be a really fun show. So again, just to reiterate, Monday, Tuesday on RHAP, and then Thursday, the Rahappy Hour will be on as we talk about the finale of the BBOTT season. Okay, that is going to do it, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you don't already. robhasawebsite.com/rahappyhour or robhasawebsite.com/YT if you want to see Alex's laggy internet in video form as well. So you guys have a great night. Enjoy your week. I will see you Thursday. For Alex Kidwell and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag never Jordan. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the Reality TV Rahappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.